We're reading together in the book of Isaiah and in chapter 65 and from verse 17. And you will find that on page 752 in the Pew Bible. Let us hear the word of God. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. And the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth, and he who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain, or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. This is a day in which we are remembering things that are past, and also a day when we look forward to what is to come. The First World War was the war to end all wars. And after it was over, there was a brief hope of peace, a hope in the future that technology and science and new learning were going to do wonderful things for us. But then there was the Depression. And then there was another terrible war. And now we have climate change and global warming, a world in which wars are raging in many places and others are threatening. We have global terrorism. We have terrible famine. 30% of all children in our world are suffering from severe malnutrition. We are living through the decline of the West. And there is a dismantling of our history, our culture, our moral values that leave Christians out in the cold. And we are quickly becoming pariahs. In a word, nothing is certain except that tomorrow will be more uncertain still. I think it was Woody Allen who said, "The future really isn't what it used to be." It's not surprising that one noted cultural commentator said recently, "We may be the first generation to be living without hope, being devoid of any belief which will enable us to live in the present by having a clear view of the future. Isn't that awful? A generation living without hope. But there is one group of people who should be a people of hope. God's people should be a people who are full of hope. For woven into the fabric of the Bible storyline is the truth that this world had an origin in God. And it has a future in God, the one who created the heavens and the earth by the word of his power, will create a new heaven and a new earth by that same word. Behold, says God, I will create new heavens and a new earth. So be glad and rejoice forever, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. And of course, when the prophet is speaking God's word and using the word Jerusalem, it's simply a poetic way of speaking about his people. I will create a new people, a new community in which my people will dwell with me and I will rejoice over them forever. And I, the living God, will delight in my people. In the verses that follow, the prophet gives to us three little postcards from tomorrow. They're postcards painted in colours that his hearers would understand. The pictures are not necessarily the pictures that we are immediately familiar with, but what the pictures tell us is what we need to hear. The first postcard is in verses 19 to 20. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. What like will it be in Jerusalem? Well, the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. And never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. It's a postcard that is showing us a picture of fullness. In this creation, the things that belong to this world are not even remembered. Man's rebellion is not remembered. The troubles of this present life, all its failures, all the pangs of conscience, all the sorrows, all the longings that disturb us now, our fears, our regrets, our disappointments, will not even come to our mind. They will be remembered no more. And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. It's a picture of life in all its fullness, with nothing to detract from it, nothing to hamper it, nothing to spoil it. Remember what God says through his servant John in the book of the Revelation. John is shown the vision. And in chapter 21 he says this: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And with these things gone, we are freed, liberated to enjoy the life that God has promised to us. And we enjoy that life in all its fullness, in a world from which all the effects of sin are reversed. The old order of a world under the shadow of God's curse is replaced by a world under the light of his blessing, because Jesus has taken the curse upon himself and borne our sins. And the curse is for God's people no more. And what these verses are affirming is that for all of life, from infancy to old age, the power of death is destroyed. The great American theologian Jonathan Edwards put it beautifully. Listen to these lovely words. In heaven, it is directly the reverse of what it is on earth. For there, by length of time, things become more and more youthful. That is, more vigorous, active, tender, more beautiful. Here we grow old. There, as it were, we grow young. Here our powers fade, there they increase. I wonder, will we ever tire of such a life? Eternity is a long time. Will we ever tire of it? And what does God say? God says we will never tire, for there will be a fullness of life. And when we've been there 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun, it will seem that we have only just begun to live. Fullness of life. Like an ever-flowing fountain of clear, fresh water welling up within us. What did Jesus say? Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. That is what Jesus promised when he said, I am come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. We tire in this world. And as age begins to weaken us, we long for rest. But in that kingdom to come, we will rest, but we will not want it to be a dying rest. It will be a rest of peace and a rest of joy. A joy of which we will never tire, because it will be renewed every day like the fresh bubbling waters of a fountain bubbling up within us, and every day will be welcomed with a new and precious joy. It's a postcard from tomorrow of life in all its fullness. And the second postcard is a postcard that shows us life fulfilled in verse 21 and 22. Those who build will dwell, and those who plant vineyards will eat, and my chosen ones will enjoy the work of their hands. That's another picture of tomorrow, in colours that Isaiah's hearers would understand. What will it be like in heaven? The word many people would use is boring.
This is what George Bernard Shaw said. Now, you need to forgive Shaw. He hardly understood his Bible at all. But he said this: heaven, as conventionally conceived as a place so inane, so dull, so useless, so miserable, that nobody would attempt to describe a whole day in heaven, though plenty of people have described a day at the seaside. Well, that may be true of heaven as it is conventionally conceived, as if all we do is float around each day on a cloud clothed in a celestial negligee, strumming a golden harp and wondering where our next piece of Philadelphia cream cheese will come from. But that's not the Bible's picture. The Bible's picture shows us a place that is anything but boring. Heaven is not a place of doing nothing. It's a place of doing wonderful things. Verse 22, this, says Jesus, that this, says the Lord, will be the place where my chosen ones will enjoy the works of their hands, and they will not toil in vain. That postcard may remind us of the Garden of Eden. Genesis 1 and 2 makes it clear that men and women were created to work. God set them in dominion over his creation. They were to stand in creation as the vice-regents of God, in God's place. And they were to rule and to manage everything in the name of God. They had a job to do. And this postcard shows us that in heaven and in the new earth, that purpose is perfectly realized. All our human powers will be at full stretch, renewed by grace and made perfect in love to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Well, we might stumble over the words work, the work of their hands, and we might stumble over that word toil. Isn't there supposed to be rest in heaven? Well, it says there will be. But that word rest that Isaiah uses is the Hebrew word shalom. Now, when I think of rest, I think of going home in the afternoon, putting off the phone so nobody can find me, particularly my wife, laying down in my bed and having an afternoon snooze. And it's lovely. No rest in heaven, but work and toil. The word that is used for rest is shalom, which is not inactivity and laziness, but it comes from a Hebrew word which means complete, perfect, and full. There will be shalom in heaven. There will be a life that is complete and perfect and full. And we shall work, and all of our labor will be a joy to us. We will toil, but it will be a pleasure, because we will see all our work fulfilled. Can you imagine working in heaven? And you toil, and it's a pleasure. But the great pleasure is when your work is completed, you take it and offer it to your Father. Isn't that wonderful? I've been going through photographs in my retirement and trying to sort them out on the computer, and I found five little photographs of my son when he was a lot younger in the back garden building a bench for his mother. Not from scratch, he bought it in bits, you know, the kind you put together. And he didn't want me to help him, because he wanted to do it himself for his mother. And he should have done it within about 20 minutes. It took him about 3 hours. He had to learn how to use a socket set. He had to learn one or two other skills. And just for my amusement, I took photographs out the window upstairs as he sweated away in the garden. But the joy on his face when his mum came home and he said, "Come and show you what I've made." Can you imagine your joy in heaven? In the shalom of fruitful work and labor. And you take your father into the garden. And you say to him, "This is what I have made for you." Our work will not be like the present time. There will be full satisfaction and fulfillment in all that we do, and the results will never disappoint. It will be a life fulfilled. I can imagine all the things that you'll be able to do. One of the things that I would long to do in heaven is learn to play the piano. I tried as a child. But all I want to do is play the piano and play Bach on the piano. Then I might learn mathematics. And then I might go exploring the universe, the new heavens and the new earth. Everything will lie before us. And work will be fulfillment. Eden restored. And the last little picture that we're showing is life in perfect fellowship with God. It's a picture that is beautiful. Verses 21 to 23. Sorry, not 21 to 23, but 24 to 25. God says, "Behold, they will call and I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. And the dust will be the serpent's food." It's a beautiful picture of perfect fellowship. A harmony of joy and peace between God and his people. Before they even call, says God, "I will answer you. And while you are still speaking, I will hear." I would love to have perfect pitch. Some people who have perfect pitch can make strings vibrate. Isn't that amazing? Some people who have perfect pitch can shatter windows. But the most wonderful thing about perfect pitch is people singing together in perfect harmony. And that's what God is speaking about here. The simultaneous combination of notes in a single chord, each sympathetic to the other. That will be God and his people. Lord anticipating our needs and answering them even before we call. And his answer and our calling in one beautiful melodic chord. So, three postcards from heaven that show us life in its fullness, life fulfilled. Life in perfect fellowship with God and with the people of God and all creation. Our culture is a culture without hope, but we Christians have that hope. When I was a little boy, postcards puzzled me. I don't know if they do it still in postcards, because we rarely buy them. We just send a text instead. But postcards always used to say, "Wish you were here." And I never knew quite what that meant. Did it mean, "We wish you were here"? Or did it mean, "I bet you wish you were here"? Isaiah's postcards of "Wish You Were Here" written on it. Our Father writes on it, "I wish you were here." He wishes that you would be here. That is why he sends you his word and shows you his postcards. For the Father longs for you to be part of that new creation, in perfect harmony with him. So the question is, do you wish you were here? Or are you content with the way things are and the life you have? And you never think about the future, because it makes you afraid. But do you wish you were here? The Lord Jesus invites you to come. "Whoever believes in me," says Jesus, "to them I will give fullness of life." All you have to do is come and ask. And surrender yourself to the only one who can take you to that place, to call him your Lord, and to follow him, and follow him to that place where he has gone. And then these words will be true for you. And you will be glad, and you will rejoice forever, and the Lord will delight in you. Heavenly Father, bless your word to us. Let it find a place in our heart and in our minds, and give us the grace to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.